Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. I am joined today by the San Francisco Chronicles Warriors writer, Connor Letourneau. Connor, thanks for joining me on the show. We've got some big stuff to talk about. Dragan Bender, former number four overall pick.
Drogon. I think it's Drogon.
It's
like Dragan Petrovich.
Yep, I think it's just like that. So now that we're not going to redo this. All of this stays in. We're figuring it out as we, because he's new, man. We don't know anything about Dragan.
We're just showing our ignorance right now.
Well, I didn't watch a whole lot of Phoenix Suns games when he was playing small forward for them, or a whole lot of Milwaukee Herd G League games or whatever.
Wisconsin Herd. They're in Oshkosh. Get your stuff. Get your information right.
Oshkosh Kabosh. Shout out. They sign him. They're going to sign him to a 10-day contract at some point over the weekend, planning to have him in time for Sunday's game against Zion Williamson's Pelicans, which will just add further intrigue to an already exciting game. But you know, we kind of poo-poo this a little bit, but it is telling of a couple of things with the Warriors, namely that they are going to be continuing to fill out these last couple roster spots with 10-day contracts and sort of parading these guys through as a means to evaluate players who may or may not play a part of their bench next season, right? I mean, this is an opportunity to just keep evaluating guys during a year that is entirely about developing guys who could contribute in the next few seasons.
Yeah, I think they just see this as, you know, kind of a sampling plate, you know, just having a bite, seeing how it tastes, and you know, maybe they strike gold on someone that they end up really liking and they think could be that 13th, 14th, or 15th guy on the roster next season. You know, that's really what this is about. Bender to me is an interesting story just because he was, you know, the number four pick in the 2016 draft only a few years ago, was super highly touted coming out of Europe and has been obviously a huge disappointment. And he's in a situation where, kind of like Marquise Chris, you know, a few months ago, is trying to resuscitate his career with Golden State. And it is kind of interesting because he played with Marquise with the Suns, and obviously we all know about how dysfunctional that situation was. It's worked out so far for Marquise. He's looking like their potential starting center going forward. Can Bender benefit from a change of scenery just like his former teammate did?
That is the question, right? And I think Marquise had a few more things going for him. He wasn't as disappointing as Dragan Bender. I think there he actually got, you know, he went to Houston and Cleveland and actually was with the NBA teams where Bender was playing mostly in the G League this year. He only played seven games for Milwaukee. Yeah. I mean, he was already on the fringe before he signed with Milwaukee. He was about to go to Russia, right? And Milwaukee kind of swooped in.
He was kind of lucky he even got that offer.
Right.
I believe it was partially guaranteed.
It's partially guaranteed on the second year. So they were never, and obviously never fully committed because he only played seven games for them. So look, he was drafted kind of high at number four anyway. It was, oh yeah, former number four pick. But when he was drafted that high, I feel like that's a little bit of a reach by Phoenix. This was the year after the Knicks took Kristaps Porzingis.
Right.
And so I think they were being lazy, as they tend to be in Phoenix. Yeah. And they're like, this guy's kind of like Kristaps Porzingis, and they took him.
Yeah, and Kristaps was a guy who didn't have great production overseas, and I think they were kind of, that was a projection, but he was so skilled that a lot of people entering that draft felt like he could work out. And with Bender, I think they looked at him and they thought he was pretty skilled for a big man, even though he also did not play at a high level. You know, he was on Maccabi Tel Aviv, which is actually a pretty good team overseas. Jeremy Pargo used to play there, but didn't get really any playing time. And so it was just tons of projection going on. It kind of reminds me of the Darko Milicic pick. You know, that was a guy who was riding the bench on a good team overseas. You had no film to go off of on him, and you just kind of hoped that he would translate. And obviously he didn't, and Bender is not. You know, just going off the games that he played against the Warriors when he was with Phoenix, I was always just amazed by his ability to play so many minutes in an NBA game and provide such little production. Like, he was on the court for so many minutes and was just a total non-factor for so much time. Like, he just didn't do anything on either side of the ball at all. Like, it was just meaningless, wasted minutes from him. And you look at his numbers, like, he's considered a stretch big, but his three-point shooting percentage is around 32%.
Yeah.
You know, that's not ideal.
Yeah.
He's not really great at anything.
And he shot worse than 30% in two of his 3 years in Phoenix. And he did shoot 44% in Milwaukee, but very, very small sample size. Literally, he had nine. He went 4 for 9. So yeah, and does not count.
He's, you know, a power forward slash center for Phoenix who shot 39% from the field overall, which that's awful.
Yeah.
And defensively, he wasn't providing much either. Right. So, look, that being said, I don't think it's a bad gamble on a 10-day contract. The guy's only 22 years old. He has some skill. There's a reason why he did go as early as he did. And, you know, it's worth just looking and saying, can we ring that cloth, you know, mm-hmm. ring anything out of there at this point? You know, and they're not asking him to be the face of the franchise. They're just ideal situation asking him to come play a role off the bench. And look, if it doesn't work out, you move on to the next 10-day. Not a big deal.
This is how the Warriors operate, too. They do like to get talent, right? They, like, whatever form that talent takes, they're not as concerned. They're just like, let's get the talent in the building and see what we can do with it. They did that to a certain extent with DeMarcus Cousins, obviously. Right. They did it even with Marquise Chris recently. They're doing it again with Bender. We're going to talk really quick about how Dragan Bender can fit in with the Warriors and just how this project could work out for them. But first, this spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. With amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventures, incredible food, Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. Arizona has one-of-a-kind spring training experiences, 10 stadiums, 15 Major League Baseball teams, and 75-degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums within 50 miles of each other, making it easy to see as much of the action as possible. If you've ever been to spring training, you know that it gives you a great opportunity to meet the players and get autographs before the game. Then after the games, check out the amazing restaurants and bars nearby. Plus, Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes and thrilling outdoor adventures. You can go on hikes, hot air balloon rides, or skydiving. You can go jet skiing or just take in that beautiful Arizona sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. And if you bring the kids along, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families with family-friendly resorts and hotels that offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, water parks to horseback rides to games and organized activities. So plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining.
And we're actually going to Arizona.
Next week.
So you're going to actually be able to see that in person. You know, maybe you can catch a spring training game and live your advertisement in person. That would be cool.
That would be great. Yeah, since I like Arizona. Look, Scottsdale, good spot.
No,
good.
I'm actually really looking forward to going to spring training. Yeah. We're going to have some time. So,
well, by the time the Warriors go to play Phoenix at the end of the month, Dragan Bender will be on the roster. And that'll be a nice, interesting little revenge game opportunity for Dragan Bender.
Sounds like a good feature idea.
It does, yeah. Dibs. But I want to talk a little bit about how Bender ideally would fit in, because like you were just saying, it gives them like a sample platter of guys that they can look at. And when they traded Omari Spellman, they lost a guy who they valued, right? They didn't want to lose Omari Spellman. They liked his skill set. Steve Kerr often talked about how projecting forward to next year, it'd be nice to have that sort of character trait coming off the bench, right? A floor spacing big who can provide that. And they lost that because they were trying to get under the luxury tax, and they ultimately did. With Dragan Bender, I don't think you're getting that Omari Spellman type of three-point shooter. He's much more, I think, he's got a lot more ball skills than Dragan Bender does. However, you know, given that it's a 10-day contract, given that there's not seven-footers who can, you know, potentially space the floor, right. I get it. So maybe that's the version that they're looking at. And look, the Warriors, they hit gold with Marquise Chris by moving him from forward to center, letting him play the position he ought to have been playing his entire career.
Right.
I think they're going to do the same thing with Dragan Bender, who's been playing like forward, and he played small forward for Phoenix at times.
Yeah, like, I've always thought he's more of a center too.
I don't think there's any question. You guys 7'1". He's a center. I don't care what it is. I don't care the rest. He's a 7'1" guy. He should be playing center.
I agree with you. And you know, I think they're going to give him minutes. I think they're going to. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he's playing a good 20 minutes a night over that 5-game stretch during his 10-day. Because at this point in the season, that's what this is all about, is just seeing what you have, you know, preparing for next season. And one thing that we need to take into account, too, is that even if they like him, they might not have a spot for him next season. Because they don't have a ton of... there's not that many open spots available for next season. If you take into account that they have 3 picks in June's draft, you know, a lottery pick and then 2 second round picks, from what I'm hearing, they'll probably actually end up using both of those second round picks, just because for salary cap reasons, they want to round out the roster with the second round rookie minimum deals.
Yeah, that's the cheapest player you can get.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, there might not even be a spot available for him. I mean, but if he really somehow impresses them in a short sample size, it wouldn't be that hard for them to find a spot for him.
I mean, best case scenario is that they have to make that decision, right? And so at least you can make that decision. And if not, you just move on, whatever. Like, this is their second round now of 10-day contracts. We expect a parade of 10 days to kind of make their way throughout the season. What were your impressions of the first set? Because we haven't talked about that on this show yet. Jeremy Pargo, Zach Norville Jr. I know you did a feature on Jeremy Pargo. What was your impression of his brief time with the Warriors?
I thought he was as good as you possibly could have hoped. I mean, this is a guy who, even though he's only played 86 NBA games, it was a proven commodity. I mean, he played so much overseas at a really high level in the EuroLeague. He was all EuroLeague 1 year. He, you know, led the Chinese Basketball Association assists 1 year, won 2 Israeli League titles. I mean, this guy, you know, was known, and there was a lot of film on him. So, and he had also played really well for Santa Cruz, only, you know, a short drive away. So the Warriors were really familiar with him, and you know, he came in and looked like he belonged. You know, he looked like a guy who could set the tempo offensively, find open shooters, knock down the open shot, also pretty athletic, has a nice crossover move. He was very impressive in the game last week against Phoenix, in Phoenix, where he had 15 points off the bench on very efficient shooting. To me, he's kind of a reminder that the line between being successful as a role player in the NBA and being in the G League or overseas can be extremely thin. This is a guy who could have had a 10-year NBA career if just the ball had bounced his way you know, a couple times earlier in his career. But look, he's 33 years old. I think that was more of a chance to reward a guy who had done a good job with their G League affiliate more than it was like actually seeing if this guy can be a piece, because they want to accumulate guys who can be long-term pieces.
And that kind of leads me to a question that I've gotten on this show a couple times about, do the Warriors have a need for a backup point guard? And there's a lot of things at play right now that we're going to get to. So today, we had an opportunity to talk with Jordan Poole after shooting around, who is nominally now the starting point guard, right? And I think you would really kind of look at Draymond Green as the guy running the offense now, but Jordan Poole is in that role. He is playing that position. He has, you know, succeeded now Kai Bowman for that starting job at the point. What have your initial impressions of Jordan Poole been? Because he's now started 2 games at point guard.
Yeah, you know, I find him really intriguing. I got to tip the hat to you. You were kind of ahead of the curve on this, and we were talking about this weeks ago, and you had a good story a few weeks ago about his playmaking ability and the fact that maybe the Warriors should take a longer look at him at point guard. You know, he's someone who obviously played off the ball at Michigan, but had played point guard throughout his whole career up until that point. And we saw flashes of it early in the season, and then obviously you and I went down to the G League, down to Santa Cruz in late December, and saw him play as the primary ball handler and point guard in that game. And he was great. I mean, yes, it's the G League, but he looked like he knew what he was doing. He's got a really nice feel for the game. He sees the court well. He's a really skilled passer. And so I think that at this point in the season, a lottery-bound season, that's a great use of your time and resources to just see what can this guy provide as a secondary ball handler. Now, I don't ever see him being, you know, necessarily a full-time point guard, but, you know, as someone who can help initiate the offense, kind of play that Andre Iguodala role on offense that he provided as a secondary ball handler to Steph and Draymond, you know, that could be valuable as they, you know, try to return to contention.
I think he could take the Sean Livingston minutes, just coming off the bench, providing that second ball handler, that guy who can make... I don't think Jordan Poole is going to be a elite shot maker at any point in the NBA.
Right.
And Sean Livingston really wasn't either. But when there were a couple games here and there where he'd get hot. He would hit, you know, 2 or 3 of those little 12-footers, and all of a sudden, you know, that's six extra points for the Warriors.
Right.
Where they're getting all their other points from guys like Steph and Clay and all these other things, so it just gives you a little bit extra. I think Jordan Poole could play a similar role. obviously not a mid-range guy, but like, you know, if he gets hot from three, maybe that just adds 9 points to their scoring total for a night, right?
Right.
And so that to me is an interesting dynamic. To take this another step further, if Jordan Poole can kind of lock down this, okay, I'm a ball handler, I'm a secondary facilitator, playmaker type, you've got Kai Bowman under contract for next year as well. Do they really need a backup point guard? Like a quote-unquote experience, like a traditional point guard? Because I argue that they don't. I would argue that they should be looking more for an Andre Iguodala point forward type, a skilled ball handler who's just can be an adult and run offense when Draymond and Steph are not. Because to me, I would rather have that versatility.
Well, I'm going to answer your question with a question, which is, what does this say about how they feel about Kai Bowman? Because a lot of this has to do with, if they're high on Kai Bowman, then they believe that he can come in next season and be the true backup point guard and eat up those minutes. And in that case, this experiment with Poole is just to be a true, you know, complimentary facilitator.
Right.
But if they're not truly sold on Kai Bowman being a primary backup point guard, that changes the dynamic. And, you know, I personally think that Kai Bowman, you know, was very impressive to start the year. And I think he's shown in recent months that he's still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, if I'm Steve Kerr, that I would feel 100% comfortable going into next season as my primary backup of point guard.
Yeah. And that's maybe why you go, that's why I think we're seeing with Jordan right now. With Kai, I think he's got good scoring instincts, but he doesn't see the floor the way that Jordan Poole does. And talking with Jordan today, it was pretty enlightening. I did ask him at one point, like, were you asked to sort of play that Steph Curry role at point guard? Because you're point guard, but Draymond Green's doing a lot of ball handling and you're off the ball a lot. And he was like, no, I never actually, like, nobody's told me to do that. But I was watching Steph, and then he also mentioned Klay Thompson doing that, and I thought that I could be doing that. And he worked with Chris DeMarco to sort of figure out how those guys worked in those schemes with the Warriors offense, and he just did that. And I was like, that's tremendous understanding. That's knowing where you need to be and knowing what your skill set provides to this team and how it could best be utilized. Like, he knew that. He went after that.
I also think he's a guy who's always kind of seen himself as a playmaker and as a point guard. And I think he was frustrated at times with his role in Michigan as a guy who was almost exclusively a catch-and-shoot guy.
Yep.
And I think there's something to be said for putting him in a position that he's excited about and that he wants to embrace, and he's going to do everything in his power to show that he can handle. Because, you know, I asked him today, do you want to be a point guard long-term? And he immediately said yes. Like, I want to be a point guard. And I think it probably means a lot to him that the Warriors immediately noticed his playmaking ability and want to find opportunities to showcase it.
Not immediately. It took him a minute. I noticed it first.
Okay. Well, Steve said he noticed it in training camp. Okay. I noticed. So, you weren't even on the beat in training camp. So
I was briefly on the beat in training camp.
Okay.
I started right at the end. We'll finish the show on this point then, because if you've got Jordan Poole as a long-term point guard, you mentioned Kai Bowman, obviously you've got Steph Curry. Steph, by the way, is not going to only be the highest paid point guard in the league next year. He will be the highest paid player in the league next year. I don't know that you want to commit more resources to a point guard position that is notoriously and just fundamentally vulnerable defensively. Like, small dudes who play point guard are not good on defense. Right. Steph Curry is pretty good for his size on defense, but he's below average to average, and I think he just gets to average based on his smarts,
right,
not based on anything else, because he dies on screens all the time and all these things. But the same thing's going to happen with Kai. Kai's decent defensively, but he's not guarding multiple positions, right? He's just picking up full court. In the half court, he's not as effective.
Right.
And Jordan Poole has some of those, you know, same physical limitations that Steph does. So do you want to add another type of guy, or would you rather find, you know, even if it's an Evan Turner type? This is the name I keep bringing
up.
That's the player mold that I think would work, because defensively you can guard more than one position. You could probably, you know, you get a player like that, they can guard three realistically, four in a pinch. And they could just do enough ball handling. Now, are they as good as a playmaker ball handler as a traditional point guard? No. But they take way less off the table than a traditional point guard does, and they're making up for it in a lot of different ways.
No, I think you bring up a good point there. And, you know, the Warriors, we have to understand, the Warriors don't think about positions the way a lot of teams think positions. They truly do believe in a positionless brand of basketball. And so they're not necessarily sitting around thinking about the 2020-21 roster, thinking we need another point guard. They're thinking we need people who can initiate the offense, people who can find guys in their spots. That's they're thinking about. We need guys who can facilitate. And they have Draymond, who's obviously elite at that. And they obviously have arguably one of the best people in the world at that, and Steph. And so it's like, how many more cooks do you need in the kitchen?
Right.
You know, I think it helps to have Jordan Poole as an option. Obviously, Kai Bowman's going to be having a role next season. And if, let's say, they did add another quote-unquote point guard to the roster next season, how many minutes could that person really have to play?
That's right. Yeah. You know? And that's why I think you almost go point guard, backup point guard by committee, which is what the Warriors have largely done over the last few years. The Warriors will play the Rockets tonight, another positionless team, more so than anybody at this point. We will have a recap for you after the game. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Thanks for listening.